In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, the great feast of Pentecost marks this, really this time of tremendous transition in the liturgical life of the Church, and what the liturgical life gives us and directs us in our life in this world. For the last 50 days, counting today, we've been really living in that space that encompasses all of the gifts that God has bestowed on us from Pascha through Pentecost. We don't really wait for today to think about the Holy Spirit coming, because starting on Pascha Day, we read the book of Acts. And all in the last 50 days, we've been reading the work that God has done through the outpouring of His Spirit in the people. Really, the way that the Orthodox Church understands Pascha is absolutely everything is given there. In history, it took 50 days for it to sort of be filled out, but it's more like a light from the sun that enters a prism. Everything is given in the light, but in the light enters into this world, it spreads out into the colors, and we see it over a period of time. But in the liturgical reflection and remembrance of these events, we sort of bring that light back together. Everything is given to us in great and holy Pascha. And for these 50 days, we live in that sort of beautiful experience of the eternal truths that God has given us. And then starting today, we're reminded that our Lord prayed that I don't ask that you take them out of the world. He leads us in the world. But that you keep them from the evil one. And so it's not that we leave the beauty of this life that we've been experiencing, been given for the in great and holy Pascha. We don't leave it behind, but now we're exhorted to very self-consciously discern how to live this life in the world, how to go forth as the apostles went forth, how to live the life of the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. In a certain sort of way, the celebration's behind us now. Of course, we'll continue to celebrate, especially every Sunday and the different feasts of the year. But really, now the movement is toward life in this world. And the readings that we have today just give us three images of the Holy Spirit that can sort of remind us and help us as we try to live this Christian life in a fallen world. The first is one of wind. The text actually says that the sound was like a roaring wind, but the Spirit, never wind, breath. Wind energizes, wind moves. Wind doesn't let us remain stationary, stable. If you're on a sailboat in the middle of the lake and there's no wind, you don't go anywhere. You just sit there, float. But if there's a little breeze, you put up the sail of the wind, is the energy that you can capture to propel you along. When God created Adam and Eve, when God created Adam forming from the dirt of the ground, He breathed His breath into him. He brought wind. He animated him. And so this breath, this wind of the Holy Spirit is really life. That's why we call the Holy Spirit the life-creating or the life-giving Spirit. It's that animation, that movement. Even in the ancient Greek philosophers, naturalists, they saw that life is connected with movement. For something to really be alive, what distinguishes a rock even from a plant? The rock doesn't change itself. But a plant is able to somehow grow and develop, taking the things from the soil and grow. It's alive because it has some kind of internal principle of movement, of change, of development. So it is with animals and with humans, able to move themselves. But we're not able to move ourselves toward God. We're able to move ourselves in this world, but we're not able to move ourselves toward God unless that breath of the Holy Spirit is breathed into us. And as we receive that breath, that is not an energy or an impersonal force to move us about in this temporal world, but is a personal, life-giving, himself alive, presence. Our Lord said that he was going to come to be with us and to be in us, relationally, connected with him, to direct our lives in the moving them toward our Creator and Father. To glorify the Son, our Lord said, we ascend the Spirit to us to glorify the Son. And so this image of wind or of breath that is connected with the Holy Spirit is this notion of movement, but not any old movement, a movement toward the Father who created us. That'll have ramifications in the world, because we'll come to experience and move about and see the world in different ways, but fundamentally it's the Holy Spirit who will be that propelling force in our lives. We don't want to go about living the world by our own strength, that's simple. We want to live our life in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Another image that's given to us in these readings from the Gospel is that the Spirit is water, coming to be all you are thirst. They're thirsty. Who's thirsty? We were created with this tremendous thirst for God. And our Lord tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who fills that thirst. He's the water that quenches our thirst. The prophet Jeremiah says that the human being is created as a vast empty space, a vast abyss, greater, deeper than anything that's created. And it has to be that way because we were created simply to be a vessel of the living God. A human being is quite simply a container. And its sole purpose is to contain the Creator of the universe. And at some level, we're aware of that, and we keep wanting to fill the container because it's thirsty. We have this container longs to be filled, has a yearning to be filled. And of course, in our fallenness, we tend to fill it with all the wrong things. We fill it with terrible things, wasting time and laziness and envy and strife and anger. But we also fill it with good things, but good things that don't satisfy. You might fill it with reading good books or doing good deeds to others or all different kinds of things, but we somehow experience that it's not really satisfying. It's not filling up that vast empty space within us. We still have this longing. The only thing that really quenches that thirst, that really fills that container that a human being is the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul said it very concisely. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple is simply the place where God lives. That's what a temple is. And the only true temples are not as beautiful as this constructed temple is. The only true temple is the human being. The only place that's really created for God to live, that was created by God for that sole purpose, is the human being. And so all of the things that we try to fill that empty space up with that are not the Holy Spirit really end up causing in us some inner turmoil, inner turbulence. If we let ourselves be filled with the Holy Spirit, have our thirst quenched with Him, then everything else will take its proper place. The other things that we do in our life, some will fall away, we don't need to do those things, but other things will then be enlivened because we're not going for them, grasping for them, compelled, forced, pressured, out of a kind of inner compulsion to fill this inner restlessness. No, we enter and engage in this world with a kind of simple and beautiful freedom And when things don't go our way, we're able to let it go because we're content with the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and quenches our thirst. And then finally, the image of light, of course, the Holy Spirit came and descended upon the apostles in the form of fiery tongues. Fire. Fire is a light. Our Lord said, "You are the light of the world. Don't take a light and light it and then put it under the couch or under a bushel." And when he said that, he was saying that when he made us light, when he made us his lights, he didn't put us under a couch, under a bushel. He put us out for other people to see by. And so the Holy Spirit comes first and foremost to enlighten us, to bring that light into us, and then to let that light shine out of us in such a way that people can say, "Oh, when I'm around you, I see the world differently. Maybe I'm not so anxious. Maybe I'm not so fearful. Maybe I'm not so troubled by the world's events." I'm sure this is true for many of you, many different people, but I'm in quite a few conversations where people say to me, how am I supposed to understand these events? This civil unrest, the police brutality, the coronavirus, what's going on? If we've let the Holy Spirit enlighten us in some small and simple way, then we will have a little bit of light to share with those who are troubled by the events of this world. But if we don't do that, if we don't let that tongue of fire come and dwell in us, then we won't have anything to share. There won't be any light that shines forth from us. So three very simple images. The breath, the wind that animates us, especially animates us toward our Creator, toward our Father in heaven. The water that quenches the thirst that we were created to imbibe, to have indwell in us in this vast inner empty space. And the fire, the light, the chance to not only enlighten our lives, to clear out the darkness out of our